fond memory, but I have other memories of living on the farm that's not so farm or so fun. It's so farm, but it's not fun. And some of it's actually humiliating, really, because once in a while I would leave the light on out at the barn after I did chores, and it'd be dark, and Dad would fuss about the electric bill like all dads are supposed to, right? It's in the Bible somewhere, but that's what they're supposed to do. And nevertheless, so he'd say, hey, go turn the light off. And so it's like 10 o'clock at night and dark. That's when all the grizzly bears and the mountain lions in Kansas are out to get me. I'm all of 8 years old, right? And so I'm kind of scared. And so I'm walking out there to the barn. I hear a crunching noise. And then as soon as I stop, it stops. I'm thinking, something's following me. It's surely one of those grizzly bears that have escaped from, you know, Colorado and come to our farm to eat me. But nevertheless, one of the problems was I had to reach up inside of the barn. I had to sit on a hay bale. And every time I started to do that, I would see something out of the corner of my eye. And it kind of gave me the willies. It scared me a little bit. And, you know, so I would just look around. And then I'd do it again. And all of a sudden, I realized it's my shadow. You know, have you heard that saying, they're scared of their own shadow? That story is based on me. I'm the big loser that is scared of their own shadow. But everyone has a shadow, right? Remember when Peter Pan tried to catch his? In fact, he actually kind of caught it for a little bit, then escaped. But no one really catches their shadow, right? And everyone knows what a shadow is. Shadow is a dark image of yourself. It's faceless. There's no real substance to it. You can't grab a hold of it. It's elusive. It lurks in the dark, and a little bit of light exposes it all the time, huh? Dr. John Ortberg also says, not only do we all have shadows, but everyone also has a shadow mission. I love that. I love that he said, this is his quote, let's look at the definition. A shadow mission is when my authentic self or my mission is hijacked by my ego and by my wounds. Isn't that interesting? When my true self or my mission, the God-given mission, what God has placed me on the earth for, is now hijacked by my ego or by my wounds. Let me break that down a little bit. What does that mean? First of all, we understand from the scriptures that we were created in God's image. And so let's look at those. We are created with a purpose. And one of those things is, Genesis reminds us that we are created after the likeness, male and female, so both men and women are created after the image of the Lord. We also know that God placed us in history. My placement started in 1960. Now you know how old I am. And there's a dash in everyone's tombstone that'll tell, for most of us, it'll be 20-something. We live in between history. We live in that dash, and God placed it in history. He doesn't make a mistake. He placed you right here, right now, in this moment in time in history for God's purpose and calling and plan that He has for your life. Even when Queen Esther was having to go before the king, her uncle exclaimed, maybe God has put you here for such a time as this. And God has put you in your family. God has put you at your work. God has put you in your school. God has put you in your life situation for such a time as this, because God has planted you in this moment in history, and He doesn't make mistakes. And then the other thing that we know and assume is that our life has a mission from God. Your mission is to live your life. You can't live my calling. I can't live your calling. I can't walk up to you and hand you your calling from the Lord. You walk around and you live your life. You're supposed to do what God wants you to do. So you're supposed to be, first of all, responsible, huh? You're supposed to be responsible for what God has for you, not comparing yourself to everyone else. You're to make your own choices and back that up. And then we're also all called, honestly, to seek God in such a way that we can understand what He wants us to do with our one and only life. So as we are placed in this world, in our society, for such a time as this, in our lives, we also know that technically we were born in a war zone. From the beginning of time, creation has been rebelling against the Lord. It's that classic, why movies always have it. It's a fight between good and evil, light and darkness. It's between the Creator God and His rebellious creation. And we know in that way that we have an opposer, and his name is Satan. And he's after God's offspring, Our lives, our mission is opposed. And so I want you to look at this next quote. The enemy uses our ego and our wounds to hijack God's intended purpose for our lives. In other words, you're not just in a static thing. You're in a war zone. And the enemy wants to hijack what God has planned for your life. He wants to hijack your relationships. He wants to hijack your children. He wants to hijack your walk with the Lord. He wants to hijack all those things. And he's been doing it from the beginning of time. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. Just listen as I read Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 says this. For when God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. This is ego going, I want to be bigger. I want to be more. And so this is the classic. The enemy comes along and hijacks us by our ego, hoping that we can somehow be more than who we are. And note the wounding part comes in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Before that, they ran around naked, and there was no shame. They were free before the Lord. But now shame enters. The woundedness happens when they've sinned. And now the enemy has them. And the whole world was cursed at that moment. Not only that, but we know from, note this story, their offspring, Cain and Abel, the children of Adam and Eve. It says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portion from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Notice the shadows. Sin's lurking in the shadows to have rule and dominion over you. Note the egos that are in play. That Cain's upset, Abel's offering was accepted and mine's not. My ego is wounded. And through his woundedness, then he acts out. Note verse 8. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The enemy uses our ego and our wounds to hijack God's intended purpose for our lives. Do you think for a second that Cain's purpose was to be jealous of his brother and ultimately to go kill him? That's ego and woundedness expressing itself. I love the scriptures because it gives us real life stories of real people that had real life struggles just like you and I. And all these people that are great heroes of the faith that we mention, their lives were attempted to be hijacked by the shadow mission, by a shadow mission of the enemy. Think about Moses. Moses was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery. What's he doing? He's out in the suburbs. He's out in the country, relaxing, taking it easy. But no, that's a shadow mission. That's not his call. His call was to go back and lead with courage and perseverance. Jonah, he was called to go preach. He didn't like the people he was called to go preach to. So he ran, and we know the story of the big fish. His shadow mission was in play. But God is stubborn and relentless. And his mission was to go preach. Or King David. Here is a man after God's own heart who could write songs, wrote most of the psalms that we sing out of the book of Psalms. He was a great warrior. He killed Goliath. He killed giants. He was successful in wars. And he brought peace to the nation of Israel. And his mission was to be passion for the Lord. But the shadow mission creeped in. And his passion was for another woman. a married woman. And he began to follow the shadow mission rather than the mission that God had for him. And it was hijacked by his own ego, his own desires. King Solomon, we know and recognize he was the wisest man, the wealthiest man that ever lived. His mission was to build the temple of the Lord and have wisdom and have wealth and to spread that everywhere. But what happened? The shadow mission was many women and much worship of other gods. We all have shadow missions. What's your mission? That's part of being able to avoid the shadows. Is what is the mission? What has God called for my life? I know my calling. Do you know what your calling is? Do you know what God's called you to do? Part of that for me is being a good dad and a good husband. That's a given for most of us. Unless you're a woman, of course, then that's the other side of it, right? Are you with me? This means yes, this means no. I'm just seeing if we're tracking here. And the enemy twists, though. This is what he does, isn't it? He twists our skills, our talents, and our abilities, just like he did David's, just like he wanted to do Moses's. And he uses our past and our heartaches and our woundedness, and sometimes we give ourselves permissions and our egos, and then we self-protect, and then we consume and we use others to fulfill our mission, which becomes a shadow mission, not the mission that God has for us to love others and to love Him. Even things, countries, societies have shadow. Society's shadow or mission is being hijacked today by immorality, and we're becoming a shadow of who we really are called to be. Government, for the people, by the people. Now, we all know that governments are always challenged with greed and money. They're getting hijacked by the shadow missions. Even the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law was put in place to be kind of a guardian for a period of time in our lives, right? What was the shadow mission of the law? Legalism. To go around and going, shaming everyone. You're not living up. It's just to be a guardian until the Spirit came. But the shadow mission of the law was legalism. You know what the shadows are of your life? You know what the shadow mission is? What the enemy wants to bait you and twist and use your talents, your skills and abilities for the things that he wants to use rather than the Lord? When we get to the New Testament, right away when Jesus was born, King Herod hears, because he's the king, and he hears there's a new king being born. Remember that? And remember what he does? He sends the wise men to go look, and he goes, go search for this king. Follow that star, you wise men, and go follow and find out where that he's to be born, and come back and tell me so that I may go worship him. The shadow mission of the wise men. And yet the Lord tells him, don't go back. And Herod is on this quest, and he kills all the babies under 2 years of age because his mission was a shadow. It was to kill the new king. But he didn't succeed. Or Judas Iscariot. We read earlier how at the Lord's table, at the Lord's Last Supper, that Judas now, he was supposed to be a follower of Jesus, but he followed his own ego, his own woundedness, and he not only dipped into the treasury once in a while, but also now he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and the text reminds us, and Satan entered him, and now he's operating in full extent of his shadow mission. Or remember Peter, when Peter said, hey, Lord, if everyone else leaves you, I'm with you, man. I'm there, I got your back, brother. Jesus goes, oh, really? Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. And three times Peter denied him. That was not his mission. His mission was to proclaim him, not deny him. But there's hope. There's the good news. And the good news is our God restores. Our God redeems. After all, we're celebrating God's specialty is resurrecting dead things. He can resurrect your relationship. He can resurrect your marriage. He can resurrect your relationships. He can resurrect new passion and your love for God. And that's what he did with Peter. He denied him three times, and three times Jesus invited him to go do my work, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, take care of my sheep. Over and over going, this is your mission, Peter, to tell about me, not tell them that you don't know me. Tell them you do know me. Who can forget the guy who wrote much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul? They changed his name from Saul, but remember when he was Saul, he was on a shadow mission. He's thinking he's doing the right thing, and he's persecuting Christians, and he's trying to destroy the church. But God reaches down and grabs his life and calls him out of the shadows and says, now, go build my church. Resurrect this thing. And that's what the Lord is good at. Even Jesus had a shadow mission. Matthew chapter 4 records the fact that Jesus was called out. In fact, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 4 verse 1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he goes out and he's supposed to fast and seek the Lord, the Father, for 40 days. And there he's hungry. And all of a sudden, the enemy comes and he's tempting him. Look at verse 3. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The tempter comes to us. Those thoughts aren't just random from anywhere, but the tempter comes to us. And in this case, if you're hungry, why not find satisfaction in food? Some of us are hungry and thirsty, and sometimes the shadow mission is just to get satisfaction. Look at the next temptation. Verse 6 says, if you are the Son of God, so he takes him up and he says, if you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Even Satan twists scripture. Notice how he does that. He goes, you won't get hurt. I know. Let your ego get involved and be spectacular. You just go ahead and jump off the mountain. Defy gravity. The angels will take care of you. This is the shadow mission. Jesus is supposed to walk and be hungry and be tired and be exhausted and live a normal human life. But the temptation at that moment was to forget and defy all those things and just express your God. Be spectacular. Then finally, verse 9, the third temptation. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. We try to satisfy. Sometimes the shadow mission is to be spectacular, and sometimes it's just serve the purposes of Satan rather than the purposes of God. Maybe Jesus' shadow mission is the reason we celebrate all this. Maybe Jesus' shadow mission was to be a leader without suffering. Have a crown without the thorns. Carry a scepter rather than carry a cross. Even on the cross. Even before the cross, when after the Lord's Supper and he goes out and he prays, the soldiers come and arrest Jesus. We know the story well. Peter takes out a sword. He starts flailing away. And Jesus tells him to put his sword back. He goes, don't you think that I could call 12 legions of angels like that and they'd be here at my disposal? Jesus isn't giving into the shadow mission of escape tribulation. Escape the suffering that he knew was about to come. And then I even think, I'm going to read it from Matthew chapter 27. This is the moment when Jesus is on the cross. And even then, he's tempted. Let's start at verse 38. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right hand and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Even on the cross, the enemy was right there tempting him to follow a different path, not the mission that God had for him. And that's the reality for each one of us in this room, that the enemy has another path, not God's mission, not God's path. And he wants to use your ego, and he wants you to use the woundedness of your past or whatever else is going on in your life. He wants you to follow and lurk and follow your shadow mission, not your true mission from the Lord. But here's the good news. This is why we celebrate today. Jesus said no to his shadow mission. Jesus said no to his shadow mission. What about you? I want the worship team to come back up, and we're going to close our time together today and worship again. If you want to come to the altar, if you want to sit there and worship. But I want you to reflect on two questions that I want to ask. What is God's mission for my life? Do you know? We know certain givens. We know that we're made in the image of God. Romans 8:29 reminds us that we have been predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. In other words, we gather in the name, we read Scripture, we worship God, we fellowship. Why? So that we can look more like Jesus and act more like Him. Our whole idea from the beginning of time was we're created in His image, and Jesus came to show us how to live. And the greatest commands, as He said, are love God, love your neighbor. Let's start there. And love is an action, isn't it? That's why in Ephesians He says, we're saved by grace through faith. In other words, we don't earn our salvation. You don't have to be good. You don't have to do good works. But He says, but because we're saved, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Love is active. And we do good works by the way we take care of other people, by the way we share love. That's our mission, is to love people and to tend to them and care for them. Even Galatians reminds us, let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. And let us do good, especially to those of the household of faith. In other words, this whole idea is, what is God's mission for our life? We know. We're to be good people. We're to do good works. We're to love God, and we're to love other people. And we're to love people, especially in the body of Christ. But on the other side of that, we have to understand, it helps us know what our mission is, but we also have to be keenly aware, what is the enemy's shadow mission? What's the enemy's shadow mission for your life? Get more stuff? Live for yourself, collect more zeros, chase that career. Those don't have to be evil in and of themselves. But it could be a number of those things, or it could be all of those things. It could be anything that's distracting you from what God has for your life. Jesus said no to his shadow mission. How about you? And because he said no, he fulfilled his mission, wasn't it? His mission was to go to the cross. And here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. This is the good news. Because Jesus didn't follow his shadow mission, and he went and he fulfilled his mission, he took all the shadows for all times, all the things that lurk in the dirt crevices of our heart and our mind, and he took all the shadows for all time, and he nailed them there on the cross so that we could live and we could come out and we could be free from all of our sin, all of our shame, all of our brokenness for all time. And that's why we gather and we worship Him. Let's stand and worship the Lord. And during this time, I just want to challenge you. Reflect, what is my mission? What does God have for my life? And then ask yourself honestly, am I chasing other things? Am I following the shadows? Shadows that the enemy wants to twist my skills, my talents, and my abilities. And just use this time to reflect and worship the Lord. I just want to remind you that if you've been in the shadows, there's forgiveness available. All you have to do is tell the Lord. All you have to do is talk to him. Like he redeemed and restored and reset Peter, he can reset you. Like he changed Saul into a Paul, he can change you. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you believe that God put him on the cross and raised him from the dead, and you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you can walk a newness of life, come out of the shadow of sin. Today, the enemy wants to distort the truth, wants to tell you none of this is real. That's just a twist. But today, we gather because Jesus is real. He's a real person with real blood, real flesh, and he died on a real cross. And he really, really can take away our sins. That's the good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these people who have taken their time and energy to come here today. We gather in your name to worship you. We worship you because you're the maker of the heavens and the earth. You're our creator, God. We believe you have placed us in time on this planet and this season. We also recognize, Lord, that it's appointed for man once to die, then to face judgment. We thank you that because we believe, we've asked you to forgive us of our sins, that we get to live with you forever. And we do, like Steve said, Father, we know the ending, and we can celebrate, and we can have peace no matter what's going on in our lives. There is hope coming down the road, and we know the story. I pray, Lord, that you help us recognize what you have for our life, what the real mission is, that in that entails joy and peace and hope. And help us to be keenly aware of the enemy's ploy, that he has a shadow mission, a false, dark image of who you really want us to be. It's an illusion. It has no substance to it. Help us to call it out. The Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot withstand it. And so shine in our hearts. Be a guiding light, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path, and guide and direct our steps so we stay out of the shadows. I pray for anyone here who's caught in that trap, that you shine the light in a way not to shame, but to expose, to heal. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I praise you, and thank you for being a God of resurrecting. We praise you, and we worship you today, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you and happy Easter.